We read from the Word of God as we find it in the Epistle of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. Our text is the 17th verse. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he may receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of all of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We're going to stop in our reading of God's word at that point. Go back to that 17th verse, James 1:17. And it's introduced, do not err about this, about what he just said, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, he just said, do not err about this. And that which he says, don't err, don't make a mistake about this, is to say when we're tempted or when we yield to temptation that we've been tempted of God, that God made us fall or God wanted us to fall into that temptation. Don't say that. Now, he explains first, because God does not do that. God cannot be tempted, neither tempts he any man. The second reason is given in our text. Instead of saying God tempted, we have to recognize that that's impossible for God, because God, the Father of lights, is the giver of good. That's what our text very simply says. Evil comes from below. God is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. First of all, we want to consider what these words, various words, mean. But then we want to understand that this God, who is the source of all good, does so constantly, continuously. That's the emphasis in the last part of the verse. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then we want to do some applying of it. We want to see its significance in a practical way. First of all, God is the source of all gifts, all good gifts. We're going to recognize that word above, from above. That may come to us as a rather strange way of saying it. If you turn to John, the gospel narrative of John chapter 3, then you're going to find that John the Baptist, and then in John 8, Jesus spoke in this kind of language. In John 3, verse 27, John answered, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." From heaven. Then in verse 31, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." That same kind of language Jesus uses in John 8, verse 23. Jesus said to them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." So when in our text, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, maybe all of us assumed it, understood it, but now on the basis of these parallel passages and their use of that language, we can see that that statement refers to God. He's from above, just as Jesus is from above. And we'll see that that has added significance too. In the King James, the way our text begins, it seems like repetition. Every good gift, every perfect gift. The word gift, while it's translated gift each time, and there's reason for doing that, has a little different meaning. And the reason is because the root word is the same, but there's suffixes that are added to the end of that root word that change it a bit. The first part, every good gift, isn't referring to what is given, but to the giving, the activity of giving. And then the second one is looking at what's given. So the first one, every good giving, every activity of giving, and everything that's given are, one says good, the other says perfect. Good, we understand. Good means it's without anything that would distract from its beauty, from it being right. Perfect, thou. That's a way in which the King James constantly uses it, and even the baptism form uses the word perfect that way. But the meaning of it is not something that's without error, though that isn't taken away from this use, but rather the emphasis is on complete. Take a look at verse 4 of this chapter. Patience has her complete, her final work, that we may be perfect, no, that we may be fulled out, that we may be complete and entire, and complete or perfect in this sense, we're going to lack nothing. We have everything we need. So the gift, the process of giving is good, and that which God gives is itself excellent, just right, supplying the one given with everything that they need. That's the simple meaning of those first words in our text. Let's focus on those two things, the act of giving and what's given. The act of giving is from above. God. Add an O. God is good. The Bible, in its simplicity, in the simplicity of God's revelation of himself, he doesn't go for comparatives. Better, best. When God says God is good, or something is good, then it's exactly right. Now God, in his giving, well, let's put it this way. God is a giver. And God is always giving because in him is the fullness of every perfection. God, remember that name. It always means and speaks of him who has every perfection infinitely and eternally. If there's something perfect, it's in God. Take every perfection in all the universe, and it's all found in him, and you can't measure it. And he's always had it. Now, if you conceive of God, and that's what the name God means, God that way, then he is always full. No matter how much giving he does, he remains full. When we give, we're down a bit. We gave something of ourselves, so we have less. When God gives, never are we to think of him as less full. He remains full. Full of his own infinite blessedness. No matter how much giving he gives. The Apostle Paul, when he was on Mars Hill and he had to speak to those unbelieving philosophers and described God as the creator, then he wanted to point out that God also providentially controlled all things. And he used those words, most of us are familiar with them, in verse 28 of Acts 17. In him we live and are moved and have our being in him. So that emphasizes this. Not only is God full and constantly giving, but we exist because he's always giving. Now that is very humbling. None of us exist by our own will. None of us continue to exist. Nella, as she was formed, as she was given birth, and as long as she lives, and that's going to be forever, is going to be because God is giving her everything that she is. And he's never less full. God, in the activity of giving, is always perfect. That's why he's never less full. And what God gives, that which he gives is always good, morally and spiritually, always good. Now, here's where we have to be careful. And this is what we're going to do by the exercise of the faith that God has given to us to trust what he says. There's death. The chapter began. There's trials. Now, don't forget that when James and Peter, both of them, are writing, the audiences to which they're writing are those who have been scattered abroad because of persecution. When he writes to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, they've been chased out maybe generations before by Assyria, but they've been chased out of the land of Canaan. They're scattered throughout. They're separated from family. They are living in often impoverished situation. They're scratching all of their needs out of the earth. They know trial. They know what it is to be afflicted, persecuted. And now he says, lean not on your own understanding about whether what you've been given, whether it's good or not. There are all kinds of diseases. Arthritis, young man with leukemia, good? And God is good in giving it? We're reminded of some things that Elihu said. Remember Elihu? He was the young of the four friends that came to Job. And when he came to Job, he had some correction when he finally spoke at the end of the book to say to the older friends, the three old ones of Job, and to Job. But one of those three friends, one of those three old friends, Zophar, in his correcting, striving to correct Job of his wrong thinking, said this. This is worth memorizing. Job 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? And then Elihu ends his three chapters of speech this way, verse 23 of Job 37, just before God addresses Job. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. In both of those passages, God is directing us to be still. Don't be so quick to speak and even to think about whether he's right or not in what he gives. He's sovereign. He gave you what is happening in your life. He brings the afflictions. He does this. We've got some visitors that are joining us in worship of God this morning from Byron Center. In Byron Center Protestant Reformed Church this morning, they have the necessary but sad experience of reading that form of excommunication. Something no minister ever wants to read. God is good in His giving and in His gifts. And when we start to look and evaluate whether it's good or not in our minds, slow down, be still and know, God is God. God is good. We cannot, with our little old brains, judge the Almighty. Can we search Him out unto perfection? No. But then, what about those passages that say God and evil in the same verse? The most familiar is Isaiah 45, verse 7. Isaiah 45 begins by Isaiah showing that God has selected Cyrus. The children of Israel are not yet in captivity. He looks beyond to the point when they're going to be in captivity. He looks beyond the Babylonians who take them in captivity. He looks at the Medes and Persians 70 years later. And he says there's a king that's going to arise in the Medes and Persian Empire. And he's going to let my people go. And his name is Cyrus. And in his description of himself, verse 5, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He's thinking of speaking to Cyrus. Then to emphasize that, I am Jehovah, there is none else. There is no God beside me, he says in verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Jehovah, do all these things. Well, first of all, how can we say then here, God is good in His giving and in His gifts? Well, first, the word evil doesn't refer to the activity, but to the gift. And it speaks of it as something that's bad, something that we would call bad, something that's very uncomfortable for us, something that's most difficult for us to experience. That passage and others similar to it just shows us that God is sovereign in bringing about what we call bad or evil things. Second, that God brings bad things does not contradict the text when it says that God is also the source of all good. But then thirdly, we must be careful that we do not ascribe to God evil and being the author of evil when He causes, ordains even, and controls the bad things that happen to us. Just quick, a little diversion. Do we want to say that they're not from God, but they're from the devil? Do we want the devil having that kind of control in our life? And that then we've got dualism, the devil and God, and which is going to be stronger in the final outcome, but for a while the devil can do it? No, it's all of God, all from above. But sometimes God brings afflictions and God brings temptations. Someone used this example. If you're going to, the old way, strike a match to light a fire, You caused the fire. But you're not the author of the fire, the matches. God causes, but God is never evil. Never. God is good in whatever he brings. And we may be able to say now, and this is where we're going to end, that even when there is trouble and there is affliction, while we can't understand how, we're going to trust that in his giving and in what he gives, God is good. We're going to want to say that, and we may say that. One of the most familiar passages of Scripture is then that last part of Romans 8. And we know, verse 28, that some things work together for good. No, doesn't say some things. We know, don't always feel it, don't always think it even, all things work together for good. And now watch carefully those two words, all things, and see how many times they're repeated in the verses that follow. If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He gives us all things. If God be for us, nothing can be against us. Nothing. All things work good. Good. God is good. And the greatest good is Jesus Christ. So that John the Baptist in John 3, 27, 31, and Jesus in John 8 can say, I am from above. The good God gave me. Now, also helping us understand whether all things always are good, we're going to look at that concept of always, because the last part of the text emphasizes that. And it does it in a most unusual and very interesting way. God is good. Because he is identified as the Father of lights. And that merely emphasizes that God is the creator slash father of all of the luminaries that you see in the heavens. For us here on earth, the sun gets the most attention. The moon, as it reflects the light of the sun. But then all of those stars. The Boers last week went down to the Creation Museum. They wanted to see the Ark. I don't know for sure, but also there's the planetarium, whether it's there or other places, a planetarium. You go in and you see the lights, all the lights set there, held there, given the ability to shine from the Father of light. He is the one who makes them to shine and keeps them shining in their existence. And the reason why he's the Father of the lights is because he is light. And that's why Jesus can say, I am, John 8:12, the light of the world. And then he can put himself inside of us by his Spirit. And he says, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5. God is light. moral perfection. That's what's emphasized with the concept light. Absolutely necessary for our existence here on earth. So the very first thing that God created, that which was essential to the existence of every plant, animal, and creature, let there be light. Now, lights create shadows as they move. I can look out the window, then I can see distinct shadow marks under the canopy, created by the canopy as the sun hits it. You all know what shadows are. Every light, because it's always in one place, even as it moves, causes shadows. But the Father of lights creates no shadow. In Him, there is no variableness, no change, no changing, neither shadow caused by turning. As we go from one day to the next, we see changes. But God is immutable and unchangeable. And the greatness, the absolute greatness of God, so surrounds us that everywhere you turn, there's light. There's no shadow at all. Because as He shines the light of His countenance upon us, it's not some days are good and some days are bad. Oh, I got a bad hair day. No, not with God. None. Mark it up, mark it down. Good sales, bad sales. Good. We have to go home and say, God was good. Though it happened some 12 years ago, I don't think I'll forget it. The vividness with which that point was powerfully brought to my attention. It was a terrible thing that happened. And as two women came, and they were told what happened, one just screamed and ran out in the backyard screaming. And the other one turned around, and all that she said was this: God is good. And then she said it again: God is good. And she said it over and over and over. I don't know what the other one was thinking, except this: God was in her mind. She was not looking up. She didn't have God in her perspective. But the other one was making herself think of Him. Was forcing herself, contrary to her nature, which wanted to go out and scream. Was putting on the new man and putting on the thought, God did it. God is good. God is good. And she was making herself see Him, not just there, but being good. Though it was like a knife to her heart. Without telling anybody, you said in the hospital, right after Nella was born. High fever. What's causing it? And the attention that the medical staff gave immediately showed you they wanted to find out, because that was serious for that little girl. I don't know where your thoughts were, but we know where we want them to be. God. God did it. God is giving, and He's good in His giving, and what He gives is good. I don't know what the Lord's going to bring in the rest of your life. But you know what? We don't need to know. Because we know God. And He's good. And with Him, there's no turning. There's no changing. There's no altering of the thing that comes out of His lips. Everything that He's going to do in the rest of your life, no matter how much it may hurt, is exactly right. As we go through the days of our lives, the sun's going to set. Going to be dark. Maybe later tomorrow, this afternoon already, clouds are going to cover the sun. And it can be really dark and dreary. We had one day like that earlier this week. Good hard thunderstorm. But in the middle of the morning, after being bright, it became very, very dark. Heavy clouds. Your God, our God, knows no change. Maybe many of you have this verse memorized, Philippians 1:6. Be confident, it says being confident, but be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes again, He which began a good work in you will never stop. As we look up and feel the warmth of the sun and enjoy its light, and we here in West Michigan, which have the clouds formed by the water in the winter, no shadow, and what it does psychologically. But the light of your God is always shining. No variableness, no shadow of turning. And we can't stand in the presence of that brilliant goodness and shake our fists and say, why? So look at how James begins the letter. My brethren, and how many times, my beloved brethren, do not err. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, every kind. Just know this, that the faith that God has given to you is going to be purified, refined. Oh, that refiner's fire. It hurts. But what it hurts is the bad. What it hurts is the dross. What it hurts is the old man. It's got to die. But it'll work. And it works good. God is good. We ought to add that. When we in humble adoration proclaim, my God, how great and how good Thou art. Always. Amen. We honor Thee, O giver of every good gift. And we thank Thee that thou art in control. Not the devil, not fate, not chance, but that thou art sovereign God, our God. Bless Nella. Work in her already. Thou hast been working. She's totally unconscious of it. But she doesn't need, and we don't need, to be aware of it, to know the truth of thy word, that thou art good to her. Bless Josh and Carrie and every parent. Bless those who are not parents, so that all of us may receive everything that thou dost give and be able to humbly bow and thank thee for thy great goodness kept in store for those who fear thee and adore in meek humility. Amen.